Uh-oh, the holidays are really coming up fast, aren't they? But, to quote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, don't panic. Uncommon Goods has you covered, giving you access to thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can browse stress-free from the comfort of your own couch. And if Hitchhiker's Guide fans want to follow that book's other most important piece of advice, but find that you do not in fact know where your towel is, Uncommon Goods can help you out there too. From a wearable toga towel to a beach towel that doubles as a backgammon board, complete with oversized wooden playing pieces. Hello, my name is Alicia, and I am addicted to Uncommon Goods. I honestly can't think of another site that has something for everyone in my family, from my sports-loving dad, to my foodie mom, to my sister, the board game fan. Whatever you choose will feel special, personal, high quality. It will be something your recipients keep, something that makes them feel seen. Uncommon Goods likes to stock products from independent craftsmen or small businesses, which are often handmade or in the U.S., so you can feel good about where your money's going, especially since with every purchase you make, Uncommon Goods will give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. And bonus, we can help you score a 15% discount. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/lorehounds. That's uncommongoods.com/lorehounds for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Welcome to the White House Plumbers Podcast. I'm David, and we're the Lorehounds, your guides to hiking, camping, snowmobiling, and...
And I'm John, and this is our coverage of the HBO original series, White House Plumbers.
In this podcast, we're going to give our quick takes on this new limited series before discussing what we felt as our key moments, and then discussing in depth several of the major plot points for Episode 2, Please Destroy This, Huh? Be sure to stick around to the end of the podcast for programming notes about our podcasting schedule for the rest of May.
Quick housekeeping. For early and ad-free episodes and exclusive content, visit patreon.com/thelorehounds and help us get to our one-year anniversary goal of 100 subscribers. We'll have more details about the new benefits and the gift that we're giving to all our subscribers by the end of July at the end of the podcast.
If you're enjoying our content and want to give us a leg up, leave us a review and or rating on Apple Podcasts. Ratings and reviews help us worm our way into the halls of power. I mean, help new listeners find us. Reviews especially help potential new listeners get a sense of what we're about. And the more listeners we have, the more we can keep making podcasts.
A quick reminder that for this limited series, we're doing a short form recap. But to make these podcasts a little more fun, we're asking for your help to help us break down the episode. So send us your thoughts, comments, and questions.
Send emails to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com or head to our website. And there you can either use the voicemail feature or the contact form. You can also post messages on our Discord server, link in the show notes below, and we'll try and include those comments as well. Look for the White House Plumbers channel once you're on the server.
All right, David. You want to give us a quick log line, a quick synopsis of the episode before we break this down?
Yeah, grab this episode synopsis from IMDb, and it says, while Hunt and Dorothy entertain Liddy and his former wife, Fran, at their exclusive country club, their kids, Lisa and St. John, paint a less than perfect portrait of family life. Later on the outs with Nixon's Attorney General, John Mitchell, Hunt and Liddy get a chance to redeem themselves when a leaked memo from Dita Beard puts Mitchell and the administration in legal jeopardy. John, what was your favorite laugh out loud moment from the episode?
Mine was when Hunt bursts through the door of his bathroom and his daughter's fine. He knows that she's fine and his wife is playing right into her like weird scheme to get attention or something. And Hunt just goes, all right, that's it. I'm breaking down the store. I'm getting to the White House. Right.
He was very getting really fed up. Yeah. The whole scene was a cacophony of yell. Everybody was, don't yell at me. I'm not yelling at you. You stop yelling at them. Yeah, it was
right. And just her sitting casually in the bathroom with her legs out and just chilling, you know? I mean, come on. That's comedy.
Yeah.
What about you, David?
The one that made me chuckle the loudest was when Woody Harrelson smacks his pointer against the poster of Project Sapphire when Justin Theroux says hookers, and it's like this whack hookers.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it was like, whoa, it was pretty hilarious. I have to say, I want all of those posters. I really, really hope that merch for those different, all the different Project Gemstone posters is available, because that is cool.
But the originals were burned.
Well, the art department of HBO, somebody's got those. So, like, make some copies and sell them.
Yeah, we'll see if the show gets big enough to warrant that.
Yeah, I don't think so. What are you feeling for the show overall at episode two?
I am liking it, not loving it. I think it's got a few chuckles in there, no belly laughs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's certainly not as funny as Veep was, and it's not as well crafted as Veep was.
Interesting.
But it's enjoyable. You know, okay. I mean, I like the story of Watergate. I like seeing these people bumble through it. And the acting is great. The writing is pretty tight. The dialogue is pretty tight.
Mm-hmm.
The plots do feel a little bit both fast-paced and dragging at the same time.
It's strange. Weird.
We're sort of going through a bunch of stuff, but I'm like, I don't know if I care about this enough to keep going on this.
Right. Do you ever catch yourself looking at your phone or anything like that?
No, because I usually am watching it at like 3 a.m. and if I multitask, I won't be able to do anything.
Right. Yeah. No, that's rather difficult. Yeah, I'm feeling a similar vibe. It's good. It's not great. I'm enjoying. I'm being entertained. That is for sure. I just wish it wasn't in this flood of content that we have. We don't have any major tentpole shows. It's a lot of middle tier shows all happening at once, and I'm having trouble getting my hooks really into this. I really, really wanted to like this one. I was really excited to see it. And it's entertaining, but when, like, say, compared to Barry or Ted Lasso, I don't think it's rising to that level of enjoyment, at least in the enjoyment factor. Like, I'm really enjoying Ted Lasso, and Barry is fascinating in many ways, and so it's got me hooked different ways. So,
yeah.
Cool.
I don't know what I'm learning from this. You know what I mean? I don't know what truth about the human condition is being exposed with this.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as Veep was a comedy, it did sort of shine a light on how people in power abuse that power and how people treat each other in those situations where other people are vulnerable, and when people will bend their morals when it benefits them to gain more power. I felt like I got a lot of that from Veep. I don't feel like I'm getting that from this show. I'm not really sure what the point is.
Right.
I think the main point is just, hey, the people who were involved in Watergate were morons.
Right.
That's like the main point of the show, and I don't know if that works as a premise.
They're as crazy. We're dialing it up a little bit, but yeah, these guys were this kind of crazy, and the whole Nixon administration was sort of this kind of crazy. Yeah, but is this the show that we needed for right now?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. I think the show would have done better. Mm-hmm. I think the show would have done better a couple years ago when impeachment was a hot topic.
Interesting.
And now I think that people are honestly tired of talking about it.
Right, of kind of political.
Bit, you know, like it was in the news for so long that, which is kind of crazy that, we're living in that time, but
normalization.
But I do think that it takes like Watergate for the longest time was like the biggest scandal ever that
huge.
Nothing could top. And now it's just sort of like, well, we've had a couple more presidents impeached now, so is it as special?
Right.
You know, there's nothing like your first, but is it as special?
Right. I think it's important that we do have a historical perspective on this. But yeah, I think the show's relevance in timing aren't perfectly matched. And when it's in this flood of other similar ranked shows, it's hard to pick the noise out from the signal here.
Yeah. You know what's fascinating is Bud Crowe's book, which I read, I finished it, the White House Plumber's book.
Nice.
It's very short. I did it on audiobook. It was a 4-hour audiobook.
Okay.
At one time speed. But it really only covers episode one's content plus the legal ramifications.
Interesting.
Plus like how he got caught, basically.
Okay.
Does not cover any of the other scandals or scams. So I don't know. I guess they just like the name White House Plumbers, but I think we're done with any of the content from the book.
Right. But I think we're still on trajectory for historical fidelity.
Yes, yes.
But just, and we've got...
Just funny how it sort of diverges there.
Sure, for sure. And fortunately, Loremaster Brian, 8063, Brian 8063 on our Discord, is a professional in presidential history and presidential records. And he sent us a nice email in today, and he's keeping us posted on there. And I think if we see any major divergences, he's going to make sure that we have that information so that we can sort of fact check that the story right. versus this rendition in real time. So that said, should we jump into the major storylines?
Let's do it. So we've got three storylines I've written out here: Project Gemstone, Hunt's Home Life, and Dita Beard.
Sounds
Let's
good.
Start here with Project Gemstone. Hunt and Liddy present Creep with Project Gemstone, their list of several covert ops to sabotage the chance of a Democrat winning the 1972 election. They are definitely, or definitely not, willing to kill someone for a fistful of pesos. After initially being rejected and putting their jobs in jeopardy, Project Opal, the gemstone that was a plan to bug the DNC at the Watergate Hotel, was greenlit.
So this was a whole, I think Brian even says, that this didn't go down like it did. We'll get to his feedback at the end of the mm-hmm. email, but this for me was the center point of the episode. All the other stuff was sort of interesting in different ways, but this was really the heart of the episode for me. I loved Thoreau's, presentation, you know, his representation of Liddy. Doing this with Hunt backing him up. I love the artwork that they generated for him. Even passing the artwork off as like a spy handoff on the street was hilarious. I think we were on the first episode. I think one of my favorite moments was when they asked for $1 million and they were approved. And then now obviously we sort of get let down here and saying, oh, you know, that's not going to happen. And then, you know, Liddy's utter or Thoreau's presentation of Liddy being utterly upset and dejected at the fact that it was Opal that was the one that was actually approved. Right. They wanted to go for the yacht.
he was willing to send people to die. I couldn't believe it.
Right.
And I love Hunt trying to backtrack everything that Liddy says, you know,
right.
Liddy is just taking everything one or two steps too far. I mean,
right.
Look,
from
it's,
the guy
it's all
who
several
burns
steps.
His hand. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's all several steps too far. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think that just watching Hunt sort of go, oh man, well, I want a friend, but this friend is kind of dragging me down with him here.
It's a little weird. Yeah. And Liddy's a guy who's going to put his hand over the flame and he's that kind of serious. And Hunt is like, whoa, dude, take it easy.
And we heard about that in the first episode. I did love seeing it in action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then having the women be like, please stop. This is very disturbing.
Very disturbing.
It is like what? Don't burn your hand.
No, right in front of other people in the restaurant. I mean, the smell. Oh, my Lord.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did like the fact that they did have him, they had him wearing a bandage, you know, all the way through there. So I do want to point out the quick line, you know, like, what's the lineage that his wife is? Celtic Teutonic. Like my wife, your wife's a hooker.
Yes, that was good. that was a good chuckle.
Little who's on first sort of a shtick. So.
Yeah. There's a lot of good one-liners here. There's a lot of good, like, you know, little quips. I'm not belly laughing, but I'm consistently chuckling.
Yeah, smiling and chuckling for sure. Yeah. And Harrelson is just inhabiting this role as Hunt. And I think I said this in the last episode. Normally, when I'm watching Woody Harrelson, I know that I'm watching Woody Harrelson, and I'm fine watching Woody Harrelson.
No, he annoys the shit out of me usually.
Okay, got it. But in this one, I don't recognize him as Woody Harrelson. He's really put his physicalness into this role, and I'm really enjoying that. I'm enjoying seeing his portrayal.
Yes, I actually think he's doing a great job here. And like I said, he usually annoys me, so this is a good change up for me.
Nice.
He is doing a good job actually acting and not just being himself.
Yeah. And Justin Theroux looks like G. Gordon Liddy. He is now.
I don't even know what G. Gordon Liddy looks like.
He looks like Justin Theroux, but bald. All right. Well, now bald, but you know. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, he's still alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's fun. I wonder if he's watching.
He had a podcast for a while.
Oh, that's fun.
I think he still does. I think it's probably still out there if you wanted to.
Okay. Okay. Super weird. Yeah. I mean, we just see that Liddy is unhinged. You know, he's clearly racist and really weird about other peoples and people who are not Germanic. we see his unwillingness to ever back down from something he believes in. It's a recipe for disaster. Somebody who has terrible ideas and doubles down on them all the time and is extremely confident in his ideas.
Right.
All right. Why don't we talk about Hunt's home life?
Sounds like a good plan.
Hunt and Liddy bring their spouses to the country club where Hunt's daughter damages the property after the manager says something racist to an employee. The manager also informs Hunt that he's 4 months behind on his bill, something Dorothy is learning about for the first time. Later, Hunt's daughter locks herself in the bathroom and Howard kicks the door in to find her sitting there perfectly well. After the Dita Beard operation, Hunt ruins game night by being a stickler for the rules of Scrabble.
Just a minor correction. I think the manager tries to fix the situation. I think his daughter said something to another guest. So whatever. Yeah.
I thought that she said you're racist for saying that. She said to the employee, tell him what you said.
Right. And I think it was another guest who said it. But anyway, it's a minor quibble. So,
all right, yeah. Whatever.
So this was probably the least interesting aspect of the storyline to me. I'm not really sure what it was doing for us in the story. I'm watching the show to watch the antics that Liddy and Hunt get up to. Not so much the very real and normal feeling home life of Hunt. I get that if we had little snippets of it to see what's driving Hunt a little bit, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure where this aspect of the story is going to go. Maybe it has to do with the aftermath. And so they're laying some tracks for what happens after they get caught. Maybe this is where these storylines are going to go play into the show. The country club life, boy, what a whole weird, different.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I think country clubs were a very much a creation of post desegregation in America following the civil rights, you know, during the civil rights era, following the civil rights era as well, where, you know, municipalities would close public resources like swimming pools.
Yeah.
And things like that so African Americans couldn't use them. And so I think we see the rise of country clubs as part of the move to the suburbs and the closing down of these common municipal things.
Right.
And so these are very rarefied spaces where they charged a lot of money to be members of them.
Right.
And still do.
Hunt can't afford it.
No.
And
not after, have his disgrace at the CIA. He's not a nice salary anymore.
Right. And I think part of the reason that this is in here is to show, I think it's two reasons. One is to show he's in financial distress.
Okay.
And cannot afford to lose his job. So he's willing to go along with Liddy's antics and not question them as much.
Good point. Good point.
It's pressure on him to do the most. And I mean, what he did was illegal. In this episode, he was obstructing justice. He was preventing someone from truthfully testifying about a crime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, with the Dita Beard stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's willing to do criminal things to keep his job, to please the president, to please, you know, the president's administration.
I think they're morally justified.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, nothing's more important than keeping the party in power. That's
right.
You know, that was this whole problem here in the Nixon administration. But I think the other part is it shows how he sort of putting on an act to Dita Beard, and we'll get to what he says to her, but he basically says, you know, family comes first, right? You have to protect your daughter.
That's true. And then he comes home. And then he's a complete jerk.
Right. But he also, I think, but if he did not have that conversation with Dita Beard, he would have said, no, I don't want to play Scrabble.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had that conversation, he at least tried to connect with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was himself and so pissed off his daughter.
Right.
So I think it's sort of to show that, like, he is acting when he's doing these operations, but he also is, his character sort of bleeding into his home life a little bit too, right? Like, maybe I should be with my family a little more. Maybe that is the most important thing.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Good takes.
Could you imagine? I mean, it's the same thing, you know, it's, you have to compare it or contrast it with when his daughter is in the bathroom and might be in danger, and he takes a call from the White House and doesn't go, hey, I got to go, I got a family emergency. He has a full conversation. His wife comes back. Oh, what did the doctor say? It's no. Could you imagine that? If I did that, I would be dead. My wife would kill me, I think.
Yeah, for Hunt, being in power, being connected to power is the all of it.
That's the most important thing above family, which is different than what he says to Beard and what he sort of tries to implement later. So I think it serves a purpose. I don't know if it's successfully doing that, but I think that's why the writers put it in.
For sure. I can see that now. Yeah, that's a good connect.
So Dita Beard, let's talk about that storyline. Yeah. Dita Beard, an employee of ITT, has confirmed with the press that she wrote a memo suggesting that ITT bribed John Mitchell with $400,000 in hotel rooms for the Republican convention. Posing as a lawyer, Liddy convinces Beard to go to the hospital for chest pain in Colorado to avoid testifying before Congress. Undeterred, congressional representatives fly to Colorado to depose her in the hospital. Hunt convinces Beard it is in her interest to lie about the memo. She does so, then fakes a medical emergency to end the deposition early. Hunt and Liddy are congratulated on their success and remain at Creep. Boy, oh boy, this was the best part of the episode, I thought, was the Dita Beard operation. I really liked the disguises. You know, I loved how people are like, you know, you're not even wearing the wig right.
Everything I do is on purpose.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You did not know that you were wearing the wig wrong.
It's so good. And then he just doubles down when he puts the flowers in the cup.
Yeah. And I like classic. That they brought back the gate alterer.
Yes. For Liddy.
For Liddy. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Him being a lawyer, that's another crime, impersonating a lawyer. it's not good. It's not a good look, guys. We're racking up the charges here.
Right. Well, yeah, black ops, right? This is all black ops stuff. So,
right.
Interestingly, I did some reading. I tried to do some Google searches on Dita Beard. There's not too much information, and the Wikipedia actually directs you to ITT and some stuff about the 72 Republican convention, which originally was going to be in San Diego, but then ultimately ended up in Miami, I believe, because of this whole thing, which is a weird thing because normally the two parties don't have their conventions in the same city, but in that year it was in the same city. And I don't know how much you know about International Telephone and Telegraph Corporation, ITT.
Not really.
I did some skimming on their Wikipedia article. Whoa, what a multi-tentacled creature that was. Mm-hmm. They started off buying up a couple of local telegraph exchanges in South America, and then ended up going to Spain and buying a bunch of stuff in Europe. And then ultimately, you know, working a lot in the United States, they were a massive, massive corporation. So for them, $400,000 in hotel rooms was nothing.
Right. And they did it to get out of an antitrust action.
Right. Yeah. You know, we're going to be nice to you. So you be nice to us when you get in power, and we'll sort of, you know, make sure that you guys got everything you need for that. And it makes sense. So, they were huge corporation. They're still around, but they're much, much smaller than they were.
Right. Probably because of antitrust actions. I don't know that for sure, though. But
And market stuff, too.
So. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the reasons why today we don't like it when presidents direct the Justice Department to do things is because of things Nixon did.
Yeah, exactly. And, it's exactly right.
Right. Because the Justice Department, I believe the FTC and the Justice Department both have antitrust divisions. And the Justice Department is the one that goes after them, like, really hard. Mm-hmm. So for him to call off his dogs like that, that's no good. That's no good, Nixon.
Yeah, I think even the whole inspector general apparatus, where each different department and agency has their own sort of internal enforcement person, was all a lot of that was set up directly because Nixon was using agencies like the IRS and other things to exact political retribution on his enemies.
Right. Right. He did love to do that. He had his little list. He
certainly did.
All right. Other things on this. I really liked the emphasis on family that we talked about. I really liked her whole personality of, I think she was, they made clear she was a Republican, right?
Yeah.
She was a Republican. She didn't want to hurt the Nixon administration. She was just like, well, I don't want to go to prison for lying to people on a deposition. He's like, well, you're going to go to prison for helping with a bribe. And she's like, yeah, you're right. Maybe I'll just lie about it.
Well, good stuff. Dita Beard was a great little character. I don't know that we're going to see her much more for her bit part. So that was a fun little, yeah, that and the pitch for Project Gemstone were the good stuff for this episode.
And this is what saved their standing in Creep.
Yeah.
So I think that this is the very important part of this. I love that by the end of the episode, we're seeing them scouting the Watergate Hotel.
Yeah, right. There's dissension among the team already at this stage.
Right. How do we do this? Is it worth it? You know,
what are we looking at? Yeah.
Yeah.
One guy was like, I'm 6 hours late for some other kinds of appointments that I need to have. So bye.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I don't know if this is true of the Watergate equipment, but I know that Nixon famously used cheap, horrible equipment to record his office conversations.
Yeah. Right.
And that's why the tapes are so terrible.
Right.
And I wonder if the same thing was for this, and because, you know, I guess Nixon was trying to save money on his scandals, and they're going to be complaining about that. Like, this recording equipment is terrible.
Pretty hilarious.
All right, David, let's do feedback here.
Sounds good. We got one piece from our lore master, Brian, 8063. And he writes in, hello again, David and John. Great work. First podcast. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for writing in, Brian. It's really great when our listeners get to participate in this way, especially our Patreon supporters. I remember during White Lotus, we had our chief correspondent in Italy, and we've got some other people. So we love having folks in on this level of the groundwork. Brian continues, I also love the episode, the last scene of episode one, when Magruder asks Hunt and Lydia about a budget. They get $1 million. It was no problem. The Nixon campaign would ultimately raise $69 million, a new record. Nixon wanted to raise as much money as he could because he didn't see a 1972 election as an easy one. A new finance law had just passed Congress, and there was a one-month window before the new law was enacted. So, in 1 month in the spring of 72, Nixon campaign officials collected nearly $11 million in untraceable money. So, Brian wrote in later to say that if you calculate these sums, I don't know if it's the $69 million or the $11 million, but that's about $5 million in today's dollars. So a huge, huge haul.
$500 million.
$500 million. Yes. $500 million. All right. He continues, John, you're so right that because investigators and reporters had to sift through the money, it just took longer. The FBI, Bob Woodward, and Carl Bernstein, and reporters from the Times, the New York Times, Time, and the Los Angeles Times were all following checks and cash. It wasn't easy.
Right. You can't just go pull up somebody's transaction history at the bank.
No.
Like you can today. Yeah, it's much harder back then.
Right. It's all paper. For episode two, here are some of my favorites. I have to say that Kathleen Turner stole every scene. She was fantastic as Dita Beard. The scene in her living room was hilarious. Agreed. I don't even think Lydia was expecting someone like her. No, she was like over the top of Lydia. You know, she was putting Liddy to shame in her Liddiness. The scene with Hunt playing Scrabble with his family was good. After everything he went through with his daughter, Hunt still can't let go of the rules. It goes against every fiber of his being. But the thing is that he's breaking the rules of the law by obstructing justice and doing these black bag ops on American soil.
Yeah.
So he's a real contradiction.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. That's a great point is... Why is he okay with this? I think it's because, you know, I'm going to compare it to Ted Lasso now. It's just like Nate. He just needs to be liked. He just needs to have this reassurance that he's still valued by the U.S. government, by its bosses.
That sounds a fair read. He goes on, the Gemstone pitch was also well done. Great artwork. Nicely done, CIA and HBO. I learned that Hunt was not in the room at the time, but it makes sense dramatically to have him there. All these schemes were really pitched to John Mitchell. So I think that was a change that's reasonable. You couldn't have just Liddy. We have a duo here, and we've got to stick with the buddy cop stuff.
Yeah.
So
I'm surprised that they don't have more John Mitchell in this because he was so central, but maybe it's a let's tell a different angle thing. But I know his wife was a big character in Watergate because she was a person. Martha Mitchell was known for, she had this deep Southern accent. Mm-hmm. And she would be calling reporters and telling them about her husband's conversations. She was like big on that. She would just go talk to the press. She was given an award by the telephone company for being their best customer as a joke.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So I think that actually would have been a funny character to include in the show. I'm surprised that they didn't.
Right.
And crazy thing that happened to her was when they found out that she knew something about Watergate, they falsely imprisoned her. And had like a CIA person, I don't remember who did this, but one of the CIA, the ex-CIA people, like falsely imprisoned her and like kept her in a hotel room and tried to keep her away from the phones. Yeah, it was like a whole thing. It would have actually been like,
a good
episode. Yeah, I should have written this show.
if they had a longer run or more than one season, yeah, that would have been a good element to add.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brian concludes, I'm happy with the show addressing all these past schemes before Watergate. Everything does not happen in a vacuum. Thanks again, Brian, 8063. Again, Brian, thank you so much, and we look forward to your email for episode 3. John, do you want to give a quick shout out to our Lore Master Patreon subscribers before I talk a little bit about our 100 member subscriber drive?
We love our Lore Masters. We love all our patrons too, but we do our special shout out for our Lore Masters because that is listed in the benefits. Samartian, Cyrus, Mark H, Michael G, Michelle E, David W, Brian P, Nick W, SC, Peter OH, Bettina W, Adam S, Nancy M, Lavinia T, Duve 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Garrett C, Eric F, Matthew M, Sarah M, and DJ Miwa. Thank you all so much. You are all heroes of this podcast. You are keeping our covert operations rolling.
That's right. Quick announcement about our 1 year anniversary. We're going to turn one July 11th. And we kind of set a goal for ourselves. This is my NPR pledge drive action here. If you are an NPR listener, we want to break 100 subscribers by the time we turn one. I think that would be a real milestone for us. And it would sort of push us into a new status, and and it would help us a lot in terms of the financial outlays that we have to make to keep this podcast running. So we've got some new benefits that we're lining up that we'll announce as we get closer to that 1 year anniversary. But the big thing is that we're going to send everyone a sticker. Everyone who's subscribed at the end of July is going to get this specially designed, unique sticker. It says Lorehounds, with our old school Second Age script with the lion and the rabbit on there. And then it's going to have an elvish inscription underneath it, because this is a special sticker that you can only get this one time. It's not going to be something we're ever going to have in a merch store or anything like that. So we'll send that, not free, but you know, we'll send that as a thank you to everyone who's subscribed at the end of July to commemorate our 1 year anniversary. So if you've been on the fence and you're thinking about, oh, I should support these guys or not, we would really love to have you over. And we've got a bunch of new features coming as well. So, John, programming notes for the rest of May.
Quick programming notes. Again, we have This Show Weekly, as well as Barry Season 4 and Ted Lasso Season 3, both the final seasons of those shows. Join us weekly on our feed for those. We also have an MC Universe episode coming out this weekend on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, where we'll be recapping the movie with you, me, Jean, and Alicia. Yep. Speaking of Alicia, we've got her podcast, the Silo podcast, about the Apple TV show Silo, which is excellent. I'm really liking it. I'm even writing into her podcast.
Nice.
And her podcast is doing great. We'll link it in the show notes. And if you want to talk about Silo, she also has a channel on our Discord server. Last thing I'll plug is we have a new Second Breakfast episode coming out this weekend as well. That's going to be on Sausage and Conan the Barbarian. So
strange.
Join us for some Schwarzenegger and some schnitzel.
Right. Some sandals and sausages.
Yeah. There you go. All right, David. I think that's all for tonight. And I'm looking forward to joining you again next week. The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.